And I think also, you know, as again, that American dream, like I got that job offer. I have double nationality. Like not a lot of people can do that.
All right. Welcome back to the Society Says podcast, everyone. Thank you for joining me another week here. So this week I'm joined with Avi. I met her only a couple weeks back, and that was when I joined her podcast, and we hit it off really well, and I wanted her to come on here because she has a very bright personality, and I think she has a great story that I believe she's going to share with us today. So Avi, why don't you share just a little bit about yourself?
Hey guys, so yeah, my name is Avi Valencia. I am a local influencer in Phoenix, Arizona, and also a co-host of We Love Avi. It's a love dating podcast based on Phoenix, Arizona too. And guys, if you hear like a bell, well, Purr is my cat. He's very close to the microphone. I just want to let you know, well, he's my co-host, if we can talk. His name is Jack, so he's very needy, so he's going to be with us. Yes, I am 28 years old, born and raised in Mexico, Mexicali, Baja California, on the border between California and Mexico. So I grew up like literally on the border where you have family in both sides. You speak English and Spanish is very, we have accessible like to learn both languages. So for me, it was very normal growing up and going to a weekend to San Diego because it was only like 2 hours for me. So I will do my groceries in the United States because back then it was cheaper to buy in Walmart. So that's me.
Awesome. So yeah, I am so interested to talk to you about your story, how you moved from Mexico to America. So just go ahead and, you know, kick that off. How was that experience?
Yes. So a lot of people ask me that question, like, why you are here in Phoenix, you know, or how did you come? So many people, they don't know, but I have double nationality. So I have double citizenship. So I have the American one and the Mexican one. So I didn't do the whole process of visa or anything since I was born. I have it because my mom is American and my dad is Mexican.
Oh, I see.
So for me, I didn't have any problems when I got that job offer. Like, hey, you want to move to Scottsdale? So the reason I moved here was I just graduated from college. My degree is graphic design. And back then, I already started my blog. It was Petite Fashion Monster, and I did a lot of online friends. And one of my friends was this other graphic designer and also blogger from Tijuana, but he moved to Mexico City. And he told me, like, you know what? My boss, she needs a personal assistant / graphic designer / blogger / a lot of things, you know? And I was like, okay. I would like to talk to her and anything. So her name is Lorena Garcia. She was one of the co-founders of Blogettes. And Blogettes was 4 years ago, a very big social media branding studio. It just started like six years ago, now that I think about it. I always think it's not 6 years ago. I already had 6 years living here. So Lorena is a Mexican entrepreneur, but she married another entrepreneur from Scottsdale. So she was flying every week to Mexico City where her family and her company was, and her life, you know, in Scottsdale. Sure, long story, everything. She gave me job offer. I need like a personal assistant that can do like graphics and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know, you want to move to Mexico City where my business is, or you want to move to Scottsdale? And I was like, and I talked with my family and we decided that Scottsdale was best fit for me. And she gave me like 1 week to move.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
And I was like, okay, in 1 week, I need to say bye to my family, bye to my friends, move all my life. I was 23 years old back then. I was like to a city that I don't know, to a country that I just know the border. No, the most farther like city for me was San Diego, but I had never been in another city in the States. I was like, how hard is it going to be, you know? So I moved all my stuff. I got an apartment. I got a roommate, and I moved to Scottsdale. And I thought that for being a border child, like living on the border, like crossing to California every weekend, I thought it was going to be an easy transition. But to be honest, it wasn't. It was like, oh my God, this is like older lifestyle. Like fully like there's white people, there's black. I didn't know about Mormons until I moved here. I was like, what is this? So it was like, oh my God, so overwhelming. And then one of the things that shocked me the most is all my coworkers. So in Mexico, when you know someone new in every social environment or even like work or everything, we're very social people. So if you go to Mexico, they're going to be, hey, you want to go to happy hour? Would you like coffee just to know you? Wait, let me give you a ride to see the size of the city. Mexican people, we want you to feel in Mexico. So we want you to be part of a culture, like be part of us. So when I start working, workers after 5, they will move, you know, they will go to their houses. They go back to your spouses or boyfriends or roomies. So I was like, oh, nobody's going to want to have a happy hour or dinner or like show me the city. So the first month was so sad because I would be like my weekend and I didn't know anyone. So I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, this is hard to make friends here.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, that sounds like it would, because that's like what so much of our life revolves around is like the social aspect and friends, you know, having those people that we can go be social with, because without that, it does feel very lonely.
Yeah, and a lot of people, it's like everybody is so used to their lives, you know, like go to work, leave work, go have dinner at your home, and then, you know, watch TV and then go to sleep. You know, like a lot of people told me like the American life is like go, 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 go. So they don't have that time maybe to make friends or anything. Like usually your closer friends are the ones that are like from college or like from school, and you meet your college friends, you know? Like, and people, I feel like here at work, they don't get involved that close. So for me, that was like, oh, like this is weird. Like, how can I make friends? So thankfully, social media and we blogging, I started like reaching out to local bloggers to go to events and networking events. And that's how I started like having friends here through the blogging community.
Yeah, I definitely think that America is like a place where, well, I guess it's known as like the land of dreams. And so I think people like really focus on their goals here. And just if that means that ruins their social life, like a lot of people are okay with that here, which I don't know. Like I am starting to fall into that pit because in the past like 2 months, I've like really decided that I'm going to build up a business and like really just dive into it. And it's amazing. It really, even if it's like not even something that you plan on consuming your life, it's really easy for that to happen, especially in this American society.
Yeah. So I feel like everybody's so into their life and like work. I was so used to like randomly get a text for a friend and be like, hey, let's have dinner at, you know, 8-9 p.m, you know, like last minute. And here it's like, oh, I'm going to bed, or oh, I already have dinner at 5, or sorry, so last minute, can we, I don't know, make it happen next week? And it doesn't happen. So it took me a while to understand that. At first, I thought it was personal, that they didn't want me, my coworkers. But I noticed that, oh, no, they care about me. But it's just, they had their life. So So that was my number one thing that I noticed, that everybody's like consumed in their lives, especially your work. Like, you don't combine your coworkers with your life or your friends. And in Mexico, all your social things are all together. Like, your coworkers, they know your family and they know your friends and they know like everyone. So for me, it was like, oh, everybody has their own little groups. Okay, I understand.
Yeah. So you said back when you were thinking about the move, like where you should go, and you said Scottsdale, like you and your family just thought that was like right for you, a better fit for you. Like, what was the reasoning behind that? Why did you feel that it was better?
Well, Mexico City, you can think about it as is New York, you know, is a bigger city, not secure for me as a young 23-year-old girl that's just moving out of her parents' house. Because in Mexico, you don't move out of your parents' house until you're married. It doesn't matter if you're 30 or 40. I have my cousins that are 40 and they're still living with their parents.
Wow. Okay.
So you don't move. So first I was like, guys, can I move? Like, that was the biggest question, because it was nobody of my friends too. Still my friends right now. I'm 28, turning 29. I have a lot of friends that are still living with their parents because they're not married. So first was the question about, can I move out? You know, I'm not married and I don't have any boyfriend, but I have this wonderful opportunity. And I think my parents, they always knew that I was kind of different of everyone, because since I was a little kid, I always traveled. I went study abroad to Spain. I told them since I was a little kid, like, I'm moving to California. Like, my main goal was live in San Diego. So for them to hear me saying like, hey, I got this job offer outside from Mexico, early in my hometown, they were not surprised. They were like, okay, we support you. But okay, so for Mexico City, it just is also like 5 hours flight or more, like 5 to 6 hours flight from my hometown. And Scottsdale/Phoenix is only 4 hours driving. So if there's an emergency or anything, my family is easier for them to come to help me or to visit me. So, and the first month that I was living here, a lot of the weekends I will drive back because I was like, I miss my friends. So, and I think also, you know, as again, the American dream, like, I got that job offer. I have double nationality. Like, not a lot of people can do that, you know, like be able to work in the States legally. I already have a social security number. I already have a passport. I already have my California driver's license. My car was from California too. You know, even though I was born and raised in Mexico, I know my education was in Mexico. I have all my paperwork and everything from California, because I was kind of like getting ready for that big move. So I feel like my dream was happening, even though it was in California, it was Arizona. I love it. Like, you know, let's do it. This is the moment.
Yeah. So you talked about how like the social aspect definitely changed when you moved here. Mm-hmm. How was like everything else in your life? Even like just like what you wear, like did that change? Like your
personality? Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. So this is another thing. So we Latinas, we love makeup. We love our hairs big and curly, and you know, like we like accessorize everything. We are over the top. So I always was wearing a lot of makeup, like eyeshadows and having my hair done and everything. And I noticed that all the girls, especially Arizona girls, were like barely any makeup, lashes extension, I don't know, a crop top or mini shorts, like very basic. And I was like, what the hell? Like, nobody here. And dry shampoo. I didn't know about dry shampoo too. I was like, no, you don't wash your hair every day? No, I wash my hair every Fridays. And I'm like, what? Look, it's hot. It's 100 degrees and you don't wash your hair every day? So those little things, I was like, it's too much information. Dry shampoo, lashes, barely any makeup, shorts, crop tops. I was like, you don't do your makeup? No, I just put like some lip gloss or something. And I'm like, what?
I mean, I guess in Arizona that does make sense to me because it gets so hot that like if you wear makeup, it just kind of like sweats off your face.
Yeah. Well, my weather is the same one as Arizona. So for me, it's like, I'm from the same weather. My hometown is the same 100 degrees. But I feel like here's more like the boho vibe. Like a lot of girls buy an Urban Outfitters, Free People. So it's like this boho vibe that I never like grew up on. So my style start getting more like that kind of thing, like Maywell, again, Urban Outfitters, you know? So I start doing my makeup less, and washing my hair to like one day yes, one day no, like, you know, like skipping. And my mom, she came visit me and she was like, you're not wearing any makeup. Are you going out like that? And I'm like, I have makeup. I have like blush and concealer and my couple of mascara. And she's like, no, you're not going to wear any earrings. And I'm like, I wear your earrings. You're not wearing anything. So my mom's till today, she's still like, so every time that my family comes, I notice myself, I do the whole Mexican look, like the whole Latina look, because I'm like, I'm going to criticize it. So, and my boyfriend didn't believe me until he went to visit me, until he come with me to visit my hometown to meet my parents. And we went to a bar and I was like freaking out because I didn't pack a pair of heels. And he was like, why are you freaking out? She's like, everybody's going to be wearing a pair of heels. I don't have any heels right now. And we are just going to a bar. And I know I'm going to be sitting down. It just was a bar, those chill bars, not even like a huge one. Just, you know, just a brewery. I'm like, everybody's going to wear heels. And I was like freaking out. And then we went to the brewery and all the girls were wearing heels. All the girls were with their makeups. All the girls were with their hair. And I was like, I told you. And he was like, oh my God, I understand now. And I'm like, I told you.
Oh my goodness. It's serious.
It was serious. So I remember I did the lashes, the lash extensions. And I was like, okay, this is definitely not me. Like,
I can't do that. Oh yeah, I can't do that. It's not me either, honestly.
Yeah. So it was definitely interesting. Like the whole style and... I don't know, the brands and what people do. So it's like, and then, oh, another thing, people here, especially Arizona, because we have pools, people like to be brown, you know, like have tans. And in Mexico, oh, no, you're not getting a tan. You're like inside or with an umbrella or something because you don't want to get tan. And everybody started like, you want to go to a pool? And I'm like, no, you don't want to get a tan for the wedding, you know, a friend's wedding. I'm like, why, what, why? Like, why you're getting tan? So it's like these weird things that I was like, I don't understand why you're paying like $30 to get a tan. If you have beautiful fair skin, you know, like I want your fair skin. Why you want to put some tan on you?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think America is one of the very few places that they, like we for sure, like, just we love tan skin. Like anybody that is like pasty white like me, like it's just unacceptable.
Yeah, so I started noticing because people were telling me, well, if you have these like glowy like brown skin, it looks like you went on vacation, you know. And I'm like, oh, well, in Mexico it looks like you were on the field and you're poor.
Oh, it's totally different. So after your move to America, whenever you go back home, like, are your experiences different there? Does it feel different?
It feels different. Now, because it's been 6 years, I don't understand certain trends or even music-wise. Like, I'm like, who is this? And they're just like, you don't know this song? And I'm like, no. I don't understand like certain topics still, what's going on. Like, it's a good example would be like right now what is happening. We have this new president, and then we have Kobe, and everybody's like talking about it, and I feel like kind of like left out, like, and understand, but I do understand what is happening here. So it's just becoming more and more part of the American life and what is happening. Sometimes I'm with my friends and I'm like, seriously, I don't understand what you're talking about. And even in styles too, I will go there and I will be dressing up different than my girlfriends. So it's kind of like, oh my God, I'm becoming an Arizona girl. I still wear my red lipstick every day. That's the only thing that I haven't been able to take out of me.
Do you feel like that, like you're stuck between two different cultures, or do you feel like you've adapted the American culture?
I definitely adapted. I feel like you kind of like the Hunger Games, you know, you need to adapt, or like Survivor, you need to adapt to survive. So if I didn't, I don't think I would have it already, like be at home. And there was a couple of years that I was ready. I was like, I don't think I can do it. Like everybody's kind of like, even though Arizona is very friendly, that like that East Coast, because I think a lot of people have told me that the East Coast is a little bit colder. Arizona people still like very friendly. But for me, it was not friendly enough. So I got adopted. I do feel sometimes torn, because I love Mexico, I love my country and everything, but I know the life here, you know? Like, I know how to do taxes here. Like, if you ask me how to do taxes in Mexico, I had no idea. I know more like the regular style, because my adult life began here than in Mexico. I feel like if my childhood, my teenager was Mexico, my adult life is my American life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's why I'm like, kind of like torn. The only things that I'm still not figured out is the insurance or doctors. So every time that I'm sick or I need to doctor stuff, I still go to Mexico. Like I will drive home, because here the insurance and everything's like, too confusing, is a lot. Even for a small flu, I pay $50 on Medicare.
Yeah, it's confusing.
It's ridiculous. So I'm like, you know what? I will drive 4 hours, and I will visit my doctor, or whatever, and it's going to be a couple of dollars. Or a good example, I got my wisdom tooth removal last year. I went to Mexico. I paid $40.
What?
And everybody at work was like, what? And I was like, that's why I drew. Like, I'm not going to pay like whatever $400 that you pay. If I know that I can go to my dentist, it's going to be like freaking $40. And then the medication was another like $10 maybe, you know? On my hair. Like, everybody's like, who is your hairstylist? And I'm like, Mexico, because I pay $100 and does a balayage, we cut, and a treatment. And here is $400, $300. Yeah. So I'm like, those little things, I'm still like, price-wise, here's more, you know, more elevated. But I understand. First, I was very against it. Like, I understand why everything's like so expensive. But now that I'm living here, I changed my mindset of that Mexican is the currency in Mexico. Pesos is the Mexican currency, and here is dollars. So I change it. I switch my mind to see in dollars, and I stop changing, because I will get mad. Like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is $20. But I'm like, okay, it makes sense. $20 in America.
Yeah, no, I've been in that position where like if you keep like converting the money, like it just gets so frustrating. I totally get that.
So me and my mom would still have fights. Someone like, you just paid that? And I'm like, Mom, I need you to understand what I paid was cheap in America. So that's one of the things. And another thing that it was like different for me was the dating, like the guys. I was like, oh my God, this is hard.
I bet. Yeah, it's just, it's a whole other world. I totally get that.
Yes, it was so different, the dating scene here. So, example, in Mexico, guys are more like passionate. They're very vocal that they love you and they want you. And they don't think about it. They go for you, you know, that they're like, that girl, they go. So you know, you like, oh, he is flirting with me or he wants something. And in Mexico, you can bring a guy on your first day to meet your parents and nobody's going to freak out. Here, you bring your parents to the guy and the guy is like, uh-oh, too serious. And I'm like, no, I'm just telling you, like, you're just my parents, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of like, I guess, underlying rules in America with dating, which I'm very glad that I'm out of that and I don't have to think about that anymore, because it is just like, even if you don't want mind games are still going to happen.
Oh my God, I didn't understand any of the mind games. I didn't know about the 3-day rule kind of thing. I didn't know about ghosting. I didn't know about one night stands. And I was like, I'm not saying in Mexico we don't have it. It does, but I think like back then it wasn't so big. So for me, it was just hard because I thought that we were going in a good way, and then they just wanted something free, you know? And I was like, no, I'd really want a relationship. Like, why do you spend so much months talking to me and then suddenly you're stopped talking to me?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was weird because I was like, oh, I thought we were in a good place. And then suddenly you're just no text.
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't understand it. I don't think that it's right for people to just like do that quote unquote ghost. I don't think that that's ever right. I think people should use their words and give someone a reason, even if it's just one sentence.
Yeah, and even it hurts. I got a guy who literally texts me, you know, I didn't get any bye, and we went to two dates together. And then I was like, hey, you want a third date? He was like, I didn't feel any vibes, you know? And I'm like, you know, that's okay. Have a good life. But I remember, so the first guy that I met here when I just moved here, I met him on Bottle Blonde. It's a bar / nightclub here in Scottsdale. He asked for my number, blah, blah. We start talking and texting. We went on a date. And it took a couple of months, and we finally have sex. We have sex, and he ghosted me. And I was like, we had spent all these months, and then you're just going to my penis, and you're just talking to me?
It happens so often, so often.
That was so, so intense. And I had two ex-boyfriends that they were like super rednecks. Like, example, like one guy that I did fell in love. I thought I was going to marry this guy. Super redneck from Louisiana, a southern accent. He had that Confederate flag tattoo on his chest.
Oh my goodness.
And I was so in love with this guy, and we would fight every time about like Mexico and United States, but we're really in love, the two of us. And he met my family. My family was like, oh my God, he's going to kill us. You know? But it is hard. And then especially now with these dating apps and hookup culture.
Yeah. What is your opinion on that? Do you use dating apps?
I use dating apps, and I met my boyfriend on a dating app. I feel they're good. I can see both sides, you know. I can see that now that I know that everybody's very busy and there's no time for social life, the only way that you can meet someone is online, you know. Like, you're in your bed, you're swiping, and that's the only way. That was my boyfriend life. My boyfriend works 10 hours every day. He doesn't have time to socialize. He hardly have any friends. So the only way but he wanted a girlfriend. The only way that he could find someone was through a dating app, you know? But he was very straightforward on his profile, that he was not window shopping, that he was looking for the relationship. But there are other people that are just on dating apps, just, you know, swiping and getting dates or getting laid. So I need to admit it. I went through a phase a year that I was tired of getting my heart broken, that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go in a lot of dates. So a full year, I went to dates. I was like, okay, free meal. Okay, let's go and talk with this guy. And I was like seeing like four guys every month.
I did the same thing. Yep.
I scheduling like, I'm going to see this guy and this, and talking. But I was like very straightforward. Like, you know what? I'm just here for the fun. I never talked to them about being serious with anything, but I think all of the guys that I saw back then, I think we're all on the same spot. So I think for me, because I was in that mindset, I didn't get hurt. I was not expecting anything more from them. But then I cut those relationships when I was like, okay, you know what? Now I want a real relationship. So I need to stop.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's okay to go through a phase like that where you have been heartbroken for, you know, multiple times and you're just done with it because I've gone through that phase. I know multiple people, multiple of my friends who have gone through that phase. And I think it's just like that phase where your heart is mending and you're trying to understand, I guess, love. Yeah. And yeah. I feel like everybody reaches a point where you're like, okay, I'm ready to start looking for something serious. Like, I'm done with this.
Yeah. And for me, I didn't know what I want, to be honest, in a partner. I was like, I know what I want, like physically, but I don't know yet what I want, you know? So I started dating all these guys and I was like, okay, I want a guy who can hang out with my family, a guy who doesn't care about going out on trips with my family, because me and my family were very close. Literally, we go, the 7 or 8 of us, to Disneyland or San Diego, or like, you know, we're always together, like compact core, and we go. So I need a guy who doesn't care. He will be like, okay, love, let's go. So we're like, okay, I want this. I want a guy, it would sound very stupid, but to make these kind of figures, you know, this income. I want a guy who really has a job, because I dated guys that didn't have a job. So we're like, I need a guy who has a job. Like, you know, like this. And I start making a list. Like, oh, I like this. I don't like that. I need a guy who let me, because I'm very social and I have a lot of girlfriends. I need a guy who doesn't care if I go see a lot of my girlfriends or happy hours or the weekends. Okay. So I start like, you know, all of those things. And when I was finally like, okay, I'm ready, I knew what I wanted. Because all that year that I was dating a lot, it helped me to know what I wanted.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to. That's what dating is there for, so that when yes. you finally so decide.
I'm all about dating. Because there are people that, oh, no, dating is awful. And I'm like, no, dating can be fun if you go on that good mindset. It's about knowing what you want. It's like going shoe shopping. You know, you need to try a couple of shoes until you find the shoe that you want.
Yes. So let me ask you, how do you feel about, like, obviously there's so much pressure that comes in, like, the whole realm of dating. There's the type of person that you should date, the gender that you should date, when you should have sex, like going, like, quote unquote official. How do you, like, what are your thoughts on all that pressure?
Oh, the official thing. That's another thing I learned. Oh my God. So in Mexico, the guy right away, straightforward, you and me, we're boyfriend and girlfriend. Good. And you know, and you put it on Facebook. In Mexico, it's a huge deal if you don't have your relationship on Facebook. Like, you need to have it. And here, it's like, you don't have the talk. You know, like, you can spend 6 months. And that happened to me. Like, And I heard it with a lot of my girlfriends that they're with these guys for months and they don't know. In my opinion, it depends on that relationship. You need to know, you need to ask. I would love to, because I'm still very traditional. Like, I feel like the guy should ask you, like, hey, let's be official, a boyfriend and girlfriend, and have a talk, but I don't feel like that serious. I don't know how to say it. You know, like, it should come natural, you know, like that conversation. You can't force it, because if you force it, that's red flag, you know, like you're not secure. Because some girls are like, I need to know. I'm going to ask. I'm like, if he hasn't said it or something, I think there are ways to make that conversation happen without that pressure on making the other person like disappear.
Yeah, I think that also just comes with how long you've been dating too and how comfortable you are with each other.
Yeah. So I had a girlfriend that they say that they never have that conversation, and they knew. Like one day, you know, they're like not seeing anyone. They don't have any dating apps. They start presenting to the parents, you know. So those are with friends. So that's why you know, like, oh, this is kind of official. I'm the kind of girl who needs to know. To be honest, when my boyfriend asked me, I thought it was a joke. I didn't know. He asked me again the next day, like, hey, you want to meet my girlfriend? I was like, oh, I thought we were just joking about it, you know. Like, because it's been so long since I didn't have a boy ask me. So it was like, keep me out of guard. About the sleepy thing. So I'm all about, like, if you want to have sex, go for it, you know? But you need to be on the right mindset. Like, oh, this is just a one night stand. This is just for fun, you know? I do believe that the guys, if they have sex with you right away, they're like bye-bye to you. Like, they don't talk to you. So for me, that first date, you shouldn't have sex. Like, no. Like, you should try to, like, two or three if you really want. But if you really want to have sex, like, you're like, I'm just here for the sex, go for it, girl or guy. Go for it. I don't judge you, you know. Go. But again, it's all about it. But if you really like the guy, you shouldn't. Like, you should wait. Because I feel like you should have that connection yet.
Yeah, and I think it also just sends, like, the wrong message. If you're really interested in someone, but you have sex, like, after the first date, I just think it sends that message that it could just be, like, a one-night stand and nothing more.
Yes, exactly. And then I do believe, too, that if you have sex for the first time, you shouldn't stay over. You should go. Like, because for me, cuddling and what happens after sex is very intimate. Like, that moment, and you don't know that person yet. And especially it's a one night stand, you should leave. Like, no. Like, you know, go to your place, wake up fresh, and you don't want that person to see you without makeup or, you know, the horrible breath.
That's,
you
true.
Know, just go. You know?
That makes sense.
And another thing, I don't know, for me this is weird. I feel more safe me going to the guy's place than the guy knowing where I live.
Oh yeah, 100%. I had a rule most of the time. Sometimes I would break it because I felt like in my gut that I was safe with them picking me up.
Same.
Like, I wouldn't let guys come and pick me up. Like, I would always meet them for the first, like, several dates, because I just it's just like a safety thing for me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I prefer, you know, I meet you in X whatever place we're going to. Again, a public place. I always say that first date, it should be something very simple, because you don't know the person. Coffee or smoothie, something like a daytime date. So if you guys hit it off, you can continue. You know, oh, you just finished coffee. Let's go and do something else. Let's walk on the park. It shouldn't be a very late first date, because there's a huge possibility that it's going to be alcohol, and you're going to get a couple of drinks and you're going to get drunk and you're going to get a bad first impression.
That's true. Yeah.
So, and I also feel like it should be like the first date or like a weekday thing, you know? So it's like, oh, I need to go to work the next day. So you don't need to go to that person's place and you're not going to have sex.
Yeah. So I think that everybody should have like their, their like caution, their caution, like protocols. I guess that's
yes.
what it is.
Yes. I'm not saying that, oh my God, I do these protocols all the time. I did break once in a while because circumstances of everything, but I always try to have like first day something simple, coffee in the morning or a weekday or even a happy hour, but I don't pass off the one or two drinks because you don't want, again, to get that impression or get drunk. I know it was fun, but you don't know this person too, or you, I talk a lot when I'm drunk. So I don't want that person to be like, damn, like scared. And then I feel the second date should be like an activity, you know, like something fun that the two of us are like doing something. And then I feel the second day already like the nerves are gone. So it can be, I don't know, like bowling or mini golf. I don't know. I feel like something that is fun for the two of us, like connect and be like, oh, I can have a fun time with this person.
Yeah. All I'm thinking about right now is The Bachelor and like how they do their dates.
Yes, like something like that. Obviously not bachelor, like big, you know, like on an airplane or going on an helicopter. But those, I feel like those kind of dates help to make the romance and have the, and not be so nervous. And if you pass first two and then three, you're fine, I guess. You just continue.
Yeah, just do what you need to do. So you have a podcast that's like all about love and everything with dating and all of that. So what made you start that podcast?
So I wanted to do my podcast when I had that wild year. You know, I wanted to talk about my crazy days that I was going. Also, I had a lot of girlfriends that I have that were on my same position, that they have a lot of questions about dating, or they were going through the same problems with guys, you know, ghosting, one night stands and all of that. So it's like, wow, we should all of us talk about it, you know? But it took me a year to launch my podcast because I was nervous first. So I met my boyfriend literally 1 month before me launching. So the whole podcast initially was about me and my crazy dating stories, and then I met my boyfriend and I was like, oh, this is gonna change. Because I think if you hear the intro of my, like on my podcast, like before the first episode, like I was like, and Abby is going to find the love of her life and she's going to be on all these dates. So that was like my whole thing. And then I was like, I met my boyfriend, I was like, I wasn't expecting literally to be with him so long. But we were just going on a couple of dates when I was like getting ready for the podcast, and then things got serious, and I'm moving with him 2 months right now, in 2 months. So it's still, even though it did change a little bit about me talking about my crazy dating stories, it didn't change the fact that it was about love and millennial dating. So even though I wasn't like sharing, I don't have more to share because I already shared all my crazy stories, I still have people with love topics. I mean, very fortunate to have all kind of guesses. I have people in polyamorous relationships. I have people that were like bi. I have a girl who dated a guy in prison. I have all kind of guesses of all different backgrounds and colors and everything. So for me, I've been like learning a lot, and I have all of my listeners telling me like, oh my God, like I've been through that like too, or oh my God, this is so funny. Like one girl fucking homeless, but she didn't know the guy was homeless, you know? So it's funny when people are like, oh, I listened to this episode, you know? And I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great idea. I was surprised when I found out that you had a boyfriend, because I thought it was you talking about like your love adventures, positive and negative.
Well, that was the whole thing before, but then everything like happened, and I think I didn't announce that I have a boyfriend until like episode 10 or something like that, because I was like, you know, like I should tell the people, like, you know, I have a boyfriend. Hey, by the way.
That's so funny.
But I still do share when I remember, because sometimes I, oh my God, I just remember this guy. And then the conversation happened with the guests. I'm like, oh my God, I went through that too. I feel like I still have stories I already told about the main guys that changed my life, like my love date life. And my boyfriend doesn't mind about me talking about my sex life. I don't talk about our sex life, but he's like, oh, you can talk about whatever happened to you before.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm like, okay, sounds good.
That's really nice that he's supportive. So yeah. Before we wrap up, we just have like a couple minutes left. I know that you told me just shortly before we, you know, a couple days ago before we actually scheduled this, that you wanted to make sure that we talked about racism in Mexico. And so I just wanted to see if you still wanted to touch on that.
Very quick. Just, I know there's all the Black Lives Matter these couple of weeks, you know, it's been very hard. And I just want people to know that in Mexico, we do have it too. And it's, we call it clasismo. And basically is in Mexico, we see each other as Mexicans, you know, in Mexico, we are like Browns, but they are the white Mexicans that are these Mexicans that they got born with fair skin, because we do have fair skin people. So in Mexico, the moment that you have fair skin or like lighter skin, your possibility of education or getting a job is higher than someone with more brown, darker skin.
Oh, interesting.
So you always, in Mexico, you always want to get that fair skin. If you have your group of friends and the guy who is that more darker brown, his nickname is going to be Negro, Black. Like, oh, that's our friend, a Negro, you know? So it's kind of like extremely, or if someone is blonde with blue eyes, we call that person Güero, Güerita, like the blonde. So, oh yeah, that's my friend, and Güero. That's my friend, a blonde, you know? We have those phrases. And in Mexico, if you are blonde women, that chances of you getting higher or like being on a beauty, a show or something is higher. That it looks more prettier than if you have brown eyes and dark hair.
Wow, it is so interesting to me
that
works.
And if you see two babies, if one blonde and then the brown, people are more like, oh my God, that baby is so cute, it's so beautiful. And then the brown baby, we're like, oh, it's fine, you know?
So weird to me, like, because my brain, like, I kind of think the opposite, like, well, you know this, like, my husband's Black, like, I'm so excited to see our mixed kids with, like, their caramel skin and everything, like, I'm so excited, you know?
Yeah, and people make, the white Mexicans, they make so much pride about their fair skin. Like, if you go to a very higher college in Mexico, you're going to see, like, most of them, they're like fair skin. Like, if you see the millionaires in Mexico, you're going to see they're going to be white Mexican. So it's very interesting. So I think a good example will be my grandparent, my mom's dad. My mom is fair skin. And my grandpa too. My grandpa is pale and green eyes and black hair. And he didn't like my dad. And my dad is brown.
Okay.
And I got burned like brownish, like tan, like for my dad. But those little things. And so everybody's like, oh my God, your babies. I hope they're going to look like your boyfriend. I'm like, no, I want my baby to look like me.
Wow. This whole, just like everywhere, like that, this like topic of racism is happening. It's been such an interesting past couple weeks, but what has been crazy for me to think about is, like, it's been a crazy past couple weeks, mainly for, like, fair-skinned people or white people, but mm-hmm. it's been for, like, the Black community, it's been, like, their life, you know? That's, like, the one thing that's been on my mind lately is just how, yeah, the past couple weeks have been weird for me because I'm white, but, like, imagine just having to deal with it every single day of your life.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's what I'm trying to educate my family and my friends, like, you know, what is happening here in the States. Like, they see just the news of the riots or the looting. I'm like, they're just showing these bad things, but there's calm protests, there are good protests. I have friends that, like you, they are fair-skinned, that their spouse are, like, Black. And I have my Black friends, and I text them, like, hey, how are you? How are you doing? And to be honest, for me, living here in America, it helped me to be more open about all kind of races, all kind of religions, because in Mexico, it's only Catholic. In Mexico, it's just brown, you know? So for me, it helped me to be out of that little, like, bubble. And I had never got any, you know, racism comments until I moved here. I got like three comments of people about me being here in America. And that never happened to me before living in Mexico. And that when it happened here, it was like, oh my God, like, this is hurtful. I can't imagine like a Black person.
Like, I know.
Wow.
It's so hard because I'm sure that in one way or another, you know, when you travel to different countries, like, we feel some sort of discrimination or racism in some way. But I do believe that some races really have it, like, way worse. And it's been a time where I feel very helpless and I wish I could do more.
I know. Me too. I just trying to get educated. I need to admit it. I did those racism comments in Mexico, you know, me too, with my friends, like, oh yes, I can't wait to have my white baby, or those, like, oh, my friend, the Black, or my friend, like, you know, in Mexico, because again, it's very common. Everybody does it. So now I'm like, oh my God, that's wrong. We shouldn't do that. So I think all of us, we had done it unconsciously or maybe we did it, but I feel like now we should accept it and apologize. Like, I'm sorry if I ever did it in the past. Now I'm educating myself and getting better, because that's another thing. People right now are like jumping, like, oh, you're racist, oh, you're like this, or blah, blah. I'm like, well, not me personally, like, you know, in general, like, people make mistakes. We are human. So if you're able to accept that you had done something wrong in the past, but you're trying to be a better person, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think that's good. Thank you so much for sharing that. I was glad when you told me that you wanted to mention that, just because it's such a big thing that's happening right now all over the world. Before we wrap up, I just want to ask you if you have any advice for our listeners today.
My advice will be to have sex on the first date. Okay, no, more serious. No, with everything that is happening in the world, I will come up for what I did say early. We are all humans. We are all same blood, fresh. This is not about Black, white, right, left, Trump supporter, Trump hater. It's about humans, like, humankind. Like, we should all love and care about each other, and there's nothing wrong about being wrong or be on the opposite if you're able to listen, but really, really listen and educate. and love. Again, I did my podcast based on love because that's my number one thing. I'm a hopeless romantic. I love love. And if we can love each other and accept each other, we're going to be in a better world. And that will be me.
Thank you. And lastly, where can people find you? Where they can they find your podcast? All of that.
Yes. So my podcast is We Love Abby. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. You can find them also on Instagram at welove.abby. And it's going to be A of Abigail, B of Victor, and I. I'm very bad with the ABC in English, so don't judge me. And then my personal Instagram is always.abby too. And I'm always looking guesses. I'm all about talking about love in all aspects. So my email also is hello@welove.abby.com if anyone wants to say just hi.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Abby, for joining me today.
Oh, of course.
This is such a great topic. I'm really glad.
I'm so happy you got your band too. You're going around the world.
I know. We're so excited. Oh my gosh. So excited. I will definitely keep you updated on that.
Please do. Congrats to you and Angel.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. If you stayed till the end for tuning in, I hope that you learned something today through all these topics. And don't forget to tune in next week. See ya.
Bye, guys.